There is a statement made by Jesus that may be the most misquoted sentence in all history. This one statement has been misused for political purposes, quoted to justify tolerating immoral behavior, and thundered from Christian pulpits to promote teachings that are the opposite of what Jesus actually taught. Are you willing to look at what Jesus really taught? On Beyond Today, we're going to challenge what you may believe Jesus said. Stick around as we discuss Jesus misquoted.
Join our host, Gary Petty, on Beyond Today.
Do you know what is the most misquoted statement made by Jesus? You've probably heard someone misuse this very verse we're going to talk about. It's used to promote all kinds of religious and political ideas that are at times the exact opposite of what Jesus really taught. Now, if you want to be a true Christian, a true follower of Jesus Christ, then you need to know what he really taught, not what someone else says he taught. Now, I can tell you that to accept the true teachings of Jesus will change the way you think and act. To follow his teachings is to discover the purpose for your life. The teachings of Jesus Christ are summarized in what is commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. In this sermon, Jesus covered a wide range of subjects as he explained how his disciples were to live their lives. Now, one of his statements in the Sermon on the Mount is so misquoted that it has actually been used to fundamentally change what Jesus taught. Now, if you want to live and have a better life and a better daily walk with your Creator, then you need to understand that even many Christian preachers have grossly misquoted Jesus. On Beyond Today, we're dedicated to discovering the true teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, do you have a Bible in front of you? If not, get one. And let's turn to this verse, which is so often misquoted. It's Matthew 7, verse 1. Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged." Now, in all honesty, how many times have you heard someone say, "Jesus said not to judge anyone, so who am I to say that sex out of marriage, abortion, or homosexuality is wrong?" How many times have you heard someone use this verse to claim that Jesus himself accepts all lifestyles and all religious beliefs? Now, was Jesus teaching that there are no standards of right and wrong? Was he establishing a new religious idea of radical acceptance of all human behavior, as long as we claim to love one another? That's what many people believe. Let's challenge that today. Let's look at what Jesus really says in its context. So get your Bible, open it up to Matthew chapter 7. Here we are, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, we have the verse. "Judge not that you be not judged." Then verse 2. "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." People say, "See, if I judge someone is doing something wrong, God's going to judge me." We're not to judge each other. We're just to accept each other. But is that what Jesus is really saying? If you stop there, you could come to that conclusion. But that's not what he says. Let's look right in your Bible. Let's look right into the teachings of Jesus himself, what he said. Let's go to verse 3. "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye?" Now, what are these specks? There are wrong ways of viewing life. He doesn't say don't judge anyone because there's no right and wrong. What he says is, before you go look at the speck in someone else's eye, you have to look at the plank in your eyes. Now, here Jesus uses hyperbole. Can you imagine someone with a 2x4 sticking out of their eye, and every place they turn, they just sort of knock people over? You know, here they are, they're going to lean over, and someone has a speck in their eye, and they're going to dig it out while they're hitting him with a 2x4 that comes out of their eye. Now, he's using this hyperbole to make a point, the exact opposite of what most people think. Because look at the next verse. He says in verse 5, "Hypocrite." He's saying, you're a hypocrite if you see things this way. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. The speck is real. The speck is a wrong viewpoint that the other person has. But he says, before you go and look at someone else's wrong, make sure and look at your wrongs. This means that Jesus must have expected his followers to have a clear definition of right and wrong, to be able to judge whether an action, your own action, the plank in your eye, or the speck in someone else's eye is right or wrong. Yet Jesus' statement about judging is often quoted to promote that there are no moral standards. This is the society you and I live in. You know, because of the misuse of this verse, we live in a society where many Christians think of as morality as a smorgasbord of concepts of right and wrong. Based on what? Based on personal feelings. What is in my heart? How I feel about things. Which brings us to the logical question. What did Jesus teach as the standards of right and wrong? What is he teaching as the standards of specks and planks, if you will? We find the answer right here in the Sermon on the Mount. So pick up your Bible again. We're going to go back to chapter 5. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount is contained in these chapters here in the book of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus teaches what is commonly called the constitution of the kingdom of God. So let's look at chapter 5, verse 17. Now remember, Jesus Christ came as a Jewish person. He's the Son of God, but he came as a Jewish man. He lived in a Jewish society. Their society was based on what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. And this is where he goes to begin his own understanding or his own teaching about right and wrong, about specks and planks. He says, verse 17, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." This is what Jesus says. "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle," in other words, a comma or a period, "by no means pass away from the law till all is fulfilled." Now listen to what Jesus teaches. "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." The basis of all biblical moral law is contained in the Ten Commandments, given by God himself from Mount Sinai. What are those laws? Worship the only creator God. Don't use images in worship. Don't use God's name profanely. Remember the Sabbath day. Honor your parents. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. And don't covet other people's possessions. Jesus says this is the beginning of how we understand morality. These are the standards. This is how we are to judge. We're not to judge by your standards. We're not to judge by my standards. We're to judge by the standards set by God and then taught by Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't wipe out God's law as the basis of human conduct. In fact, he expounds upon the motives for right and wrong actions. Now, this is very interesting. Let's pick this up right here in Matthew chapter 5 and go down to verse 21. So in Matthew chapter 5, let's go to verse 21. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment." Thou shalt not murder is one of the standards, the laws of God established in the Ten Commandments. And Jesus says, now you've heard that. Now does he say next, but forget that. Wipe it away. Don't judge each other. No, what he says next is profound. Verse 22, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, raka, or worthless person, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Jesus teaches his followers that they shouldn't be just concerned with not committing immoral actions, but they are concerned with having morally pure thoughts. You see, murder is a result of hatred. If you want to stop violence, what you have to do is change the person. If you want to stop the actions, you must change the way we think, the way we feel. Jesus isn't just concerned with judging actions. He's concerned with judging thoughts. Let's skip down just a little bit farther here to verse 27. He says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery." Now, this is right from one of the Ten Commandments. Jesus actually says we are to judge that if someone else commits adultery, it is wrong. If you and I commit adultery, it is wrong. These are standards that he sets, that he judges people by. Now he says in verse 28, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." This means that according to Jesus, it is not only wrong for a Christian to commit adultery, it's wrong to look at pornography. You talk about judging. Jesus says a Christian should not look at pornography. We are to be absolutely, completely loyal to our mates. Jesus is clearly teaching if an action, whether our own or made by somebody else, isn't just a matter of individual standards, but must be based in the moral law established by the Creator of life. Now, we have a lot to cover today about this one verse that is so often misquoted. Before we continue, I want to tell you about the free booklet we're offering you today. You know, if Jesus is so misquoted in this one verse, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, how many more of his sayings have been misquoted? Now, if you claim to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, then you need to know what Jesus really taught. And that's why you need to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and order our free booklet, Jesus Christ, The Real Story. Do you know who Jesus said he was? How he fulfilled messianic prophecies contained in the Old Testament? How he taught his followers to live? Now, this booklet will help you discover the true gospel of Jesus Christ. You will find that even the gospel message that he brought has been often misquoted and has been used to create and sometimes a counterfeit Christianity. Now, this booklet is absolutely free. We're not going to ask you for money. So go online to beyondtoday.tv to read or order your free copy of Jesus Christ, The Real Story. Or you can call toll free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Now write that down. I'll say it again. 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv. So let's summarize what we've been talking about here so far in the program. Let's go back to Matthew 7, verse 1. Pick up your Bible. "Judge not that you be not judged." The most misquoted statement ever made by Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." So he says, be careful about making judgments. Be careful about making judgments that come from personal standards. We should be looking at things the way God looks at things. Verse 3, he uses this hyperbole. "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye?" We have these planks in our eyes, knocking people down, hurting other people. He says, "Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now, we didn't read verse 6 before. I want to read verse 6. You won't see this quoted much. Not too many people say, "Well, Jesus, you know, he didn't say things like this." Yes, he did. There were standards he said we should live by, standards he brought, that we are to emulate him as our master. He says in verse 6, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." You know, Jesus says here, there are certain things that are holy that people reject that you don't even try to tell them. You don't even try to give it to them. So here we see that Jesus Christ clearly states that before you decide to judge someone else, you need to first look at the plank in your own eyes. You need to first judge yourself. And he gives us the standards by which we do that. Now, we also saw that earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus clearly claims that the moral law of the Hebrew Scriptures, outlined in the Ten Commandments, form the basis of his teachings on right and wrong. It is in these standards that a Christian can judge. Yes, I said judge. That stealing or adultery or taking God's name in vain, these are all wrong actions. We should remove them from our lives. And yes, we should be able to look at others and say, according to God's judgment, those things are wrong. Now let's look at what Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, this is very, very important. Let's go to Matthew 7, Matthew chapter 7 here, and verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Now stop right there and think about that. Here's another way Jesus is misquoted. Just believe in Jesus. Just accept Jesus into your heart. Say a certain simple prayer. Call him Lord. and you're guaranteed salvation. That's not what Jesus Christ taught. Read it. It's right there. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what he says. The rest of the sentence. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You see, we must accept Jesus Christ as Lord. That means we must do what he teaches. We must obey what he teaches. Verse 22, he says, many will say to me in that day. Now that's very important. Many will say to me in that day. In that day is a reference to the time when Jesus Christ returns, the day of the Lord. So when Jesus Christ returns, all Christians are prepared, right, to meet Jesus. You want to meet him when he returns. What do you want him to say to you? What would you like Jesus Christ, your Savior, to say to you when he returns and you meet him face to face? Not this. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? These people will have been Christians in name. They will have done great works. They will have taught in his name. They will have said, taken people to the Bible and say, look, these are the teachings of Jesus Christ. But they will not have lived by the teachings of Jesus Christ. And notice what Jesus says in verse 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Stop right there. I never knew you. Is that what you want to hear from your Savior? Well, you say, but I'm a Christian. I said he was Lord. I said the little prayer I was supposed to say. But did you do the will of God? Because he says here, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Interesting. You who practice lawlessness. There are those who will not obey and listen to and follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Master. They will reject the law of God. They will reject standards. They will take passages like Matthew 7 verse 1 and misquote them and say, oh no, we can't judge anybody. All of us can do what we want to do and live how we want to live because Jesus doesn't judge. It's not true. It's a lie. And Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's going to say to those who practice lawlessness, depart from me, I do not know you. Now in the next segment, we're going to discuss the return of Jesus Christ as judge and what it means to you.
Time. In a time of instant disaster, how can you have time to find the truth? It takes time to get the facts, time to think, especially about the most important person in history, Jesus Christ, whose truth is so distorted and so misrepresented. What can we know of him from a Christianity Today with its own history of lies and manipulation? Now you can save time by getting the latest biblical research by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Jesus Christ, The Real Story. With Christianity's 500 denominations in confusion about the man it claims as its leader, you don't have time to waste. Was Jesus only a man or God? Find out what he really taught and practiced by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv. Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. What's the best way to rear your children for success? Questions need positive answers to the world's greatest issues and your personal ones as well. That's what you'll get when you get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription. You'll be glad you did.
When you order your free booklet about Jesus Christ, the real story that we're offering today, we will also send you a free subscription to the Good News Magazine. And this magazine will help you in your daily walk with God. There are articles in here about family matters, about the Bible, about what Jesus Christ really taught. You'll be able to go to your Bible. And in this magazine, by the way, we have lots of, when we quote from the scripture, we tell you where to find it. You can go make sure that we are not misquoting Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to something we read from the Sermon on the Mount in the last segment. Let's go back to Matthew 7, verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So there is a time when Jesus Christ is returning in that day, the day of the Lord, to set up God's kingdom on this earth. And at that time, he's going to begin to judge people. And so when people say that it is wrong for a Christian to judge an action like abortion or homosexuality because Jesus doesn't judge them, you know, they're actually perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look what Jesus says here. He says, many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Now, these are people who will have taught about Jesus Christ, in some cases, done miracles in his name. He said, well, if someone does a miracle in the name of Jesus Christ, they must be from Jesus Christ. That's not what he said. Because he says here in verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. As a Christian, that is the most frightening thing you can imagine, is standing before Jesus Christ and having him say, I never knew you. I don't know you at all. And why? Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, no human being has the right to condemn another person. All of us will appear before God to receive judicial judgment. But Christians are to clearly judge whether an action is right or wrong. And we know whether it's right or wrong because it's by God's standards. You know, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth to be tortured and die a horrible death. Now, why? All Christians believe this. Jesus came to die to pay the penalty for our wrong actions. Now, I want you to think about this. It's absolutely absurd to think that he would go through death by crucifixion for us, only to then say, you know what, wrong actions really aren't that important. Don't judge each other. Think about how absurd that is. You know, many Christians say they are waiting for Jesus Christ's return, but because of centuries of misquoting Jesus, many people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ won't recognize him when he does return. What will it be like when Jesus Christ returns? Pick up your Bibles again, and let's go to Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And let's go to Revelation chapter 19, and we're going to pick this up in verse 11. Revelation 19 and verse 11. The Apostle John, the last of the apostles, that's alive. This is towards the end of that first century. He is given a vision of what it's going to be like at the return of Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord, all the terrible things that will happen. So let's pick this up and let's look at this in verse 11. John says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. This is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is returning, not this time as a baby in the manger, not this time to be dragged through the streets and spit on by human beings and beaten and killed. He's coming back to do what? He's coming back, according to John, and in righteousness, he judges and makes war. If Jesus Christ is going to judge, it is important for us to know what standards he is going to judge by. And so when we turn to Jesus Christ and we do repent and we accept the fact that Jesus died for us because of our wrongs, our commitment to him is we want to live for that kingdom. And because we want to live for that kingdom, we are now dedicated to his standards. John goes on, this is what Jesus Christ will look like. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The Word, another name for Jesus Christ. And his armies are in heaven, clothed in fine linen and clean, and they follow him on white horses. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that he should strike the nations. Jesus Christ is coming back to make war on those who reject his judgments. I don't know why this message is gone from so much of Christianity. This is what your Bible says. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And on his thigh is a name, King of Kings, as Lord of Lords. He's coming back to judge the earth. You can be prepared for that day, the day of the return of Jesus Christ, but you can't do it by buying into the absolute lie that somehow God doesn't care about good and evil, and you just sort of do what you feel, what's good in your heart, or what you feel good in your heart. You know, let's go back to Matthew 7 here as we wrap this up. I'm going to go back to Matthew 7 and finish up with what Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount in verse 24. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." The Creator of life, you see, has rules that He has given to us. And Jesus Christ upheld those rules. He died because we break those rules. And He expects you to learn, and He expects me to learn, to judge our own actions by those standards. And yes, judge the actions of others by those standards. If we don't learn righteous judgment, then Jesus Himself says it's like we're building our house. We're building our lives on sand. And when a flood comes, and you know the floods do come in life, don't they? When the bad times come, when the times when our faith is tried, we'll be washed away. Life will wash us away because our lives aren't built on Christ and His standards and His teachings. But if we do, then it's like building on a rock. It is interesting that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Messiah is referred to as the rock. Build your life on the rock. We'll be back right after this.
It takes time to get the facts, time to think, especially about the most important person in history, Jesus Christ. With Christianity's 500 denominations in confusion about the man it claims as its leader, find out what he really taught and practiced by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Jesus Christ, The Real Story.
The Sermon on the Mount is sometimes called the Constitution of the Kingdom of God. If you want to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, if you want to have a meaningful daily relationship with your Creator, if you want an eternal reward in the family of God, then you must first learn about God's righteous judgment based on His commandments. You must recognize that before you can judge righteous judgment, you have to get the plank out of your own eye first. In other words, judge yourself. Study the words, the teachings of Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Ask God to open your mind to the spiritual reality of Jesus Christ's words in the Sermon on the Mount. And you will be a person who builds His house on the rock. For Beyond Today, I'm Gary Petty. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.